Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, welcome, my fellow baby boomers, to another edition of Another Day Above Ground. Although, ironically, this is coming to you from deep underground because we're all under personal isolation right now. So I didn't want to get in trouble by appearing up in the daylight. So I'm in a deep bunker, and we're still ready to make you laugh and bring you some good information, even in these troubled times when we, yes, that's right, us, we're the target for this stupid thing. Anyhow, I don't get it. Why old people? Why not millennials? But that's for another time. Let me introduce our cast today for a show, because I have two partners to put this show together, and I need them both. First of all, from the great state of Indiana, which is currently not yet under quarantine, the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Hey, they're just saying that a bunch of the kids that went on spring break are now testing positive for coronavirus, and their parents are relieved that they finally passed one test this year.
There you go.
And the lilting laughter you hear comes from Carolyn Strauss, who joins us from Denver, Colorado. You're not under quarantine yet either, are you?
We are not. They're thinking about it. But I'm just thinking, remember at Christmas time, all of those people were giving the guy who gave his wife a Peloton a hard time? Who's laughing now? I'd give anything for a Peloton in my house.
All right. Well, that's the first offer of the show. If you happen to own a Peloton, Carolyn will do darn just anything for it. So there you go. I don't know. Is it driving you nuts being inside? Is it making you crazy? I mean, I could be a hermit in another life, so it really isn't bothering me. But what about you, Carolyn? You're shaking your head.
I am jogging around Costco daily. I am losing my flipping mind. I walked into American Furniture Warehouse, so I was shopping with a friend who needs some furniture, and we actually went shopping on Saturday. And we walk into American Furniture Warehouse, and there's a big sign when you walk in that says, "Please stay six feet apart from people." And there's the greeter standing, you know, like 6 feet from the door. And I walk in, and then all the people behind the counter, and he looks at me, he says, "Welcome to American Furniture." And I look at him and I go, "What? No hug?" I had to make a whole store of people laugh. I had to do it. I was losing my mind.
I don't know how you can actually like get essential services like hamburgers with a 6 feet rule. What do you do? Roll down the window and have them throw it into through the drive-thru.
Yeah, there you go.
Same with delivery. You order food to be delivered to your house. Just put it on the porch. I stuck the money, under a brick out there. You take it and get the hell away. So, you know, I have no idea. Although I did, and this is a case of worst case scenario blossoming forth. I read about a strip club in California. Let me see if I can find out where it is.
Portland, Oregon. It's the Lucky Devil.
Oh, Portland, Oregon. Yes, Portland, Oregon, where everything weird happens. And the strippers are all out of work now because they closed the club. But the club manager said, "Hey, we still make food. Why don't we use the strippers to deliver it?" And he started Boober Eats.
Oh, great.
You order your meal, and it's two strippers deliver it.
That's genius. Great.
And they still all just, you know, work on tips, but what the heck, you know, that's a great deal. Boober Eats.
Well, I've been looking for something to do. So
actually, I'm so bored. I am totally against hoarding, but there's nothing else to do.
Where are you going to go to get stuff to hoard? Like I said, the furniture store was open. Bed Bath & Beyond closed today, and that's like the ultimate hoarding store. They closed all their stores today.
Well, what I'm doing is buying stuff that nobody ever buys and seeing if I can start a run on it. I go back later in the day and see if I'll buy like 20 cans of pickled herring.
Just clear the shelf of Fleet enemas just to freak people out, you know?
just to see.
No, you can't, because there's no toilet paper. That is there a bad go. Idea.
There you go. Well, anyhow, the fourth voice that you've been hearing in and out here is our guest for today, joining us from San Clemente, I believe, California, Mr. Ron Sears. And Ron is a financial guru who specializes in investments for baby boomers. So we figure, what better time to bring him on? We're all baby boomers, and we just lost a whole buttload full of money. So we wanted to find out where it went. What happened, Ron? My 401k is now a 239k. What happened?
Dale, can I say something here? If you lost a buttload of money, you are investing it in the wrong place.
That's part of it. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Baby got back. What can I say? Yeah. So anyhow, Rod, what happened, and what's going on?
Well, this is part of the reason we started the Baby Boomer Investing Show. But before I do that, I've gotten emails from people who know why there was a run on toilet paper. And you seem like somebody who would want to talk about that.
I would love to know why, because this is not an intestinal virus. It doesn't make you poop.
It makes all the sense in the world. So when somebody sneezes now, everybody craps.
I thought it was because the government was so full of that we needed toilet paper.
There you go.
It should be sent to the Senate then. But What do you think happened? Was it just panic that hit the market in the last couple of weeks? Just, oh, we're all going to die. It's a bubonic plague. And what happened?
Well, it's panic, but even before that. So we started the Baby Boomer Show early February. And I've been a financial consultant for 50 years now and consulting to trillions of dollars of institutional assets. And it occurred to me, I'm 1 year ahead of the Baby Boomers. I'm a little older. But I've seen what individual investors are doing and what's being done to them. And baby boomers have been taking way too much risk. And it's been the thoughtful academics have been writing about this for a decade. But the warning hasn't gotten out there. And now we're feeling what the cost has been for not taking the warning. And the warning is this. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. My question can wait.
So people on this call should Google two things. Google this investment risk zone, and you'll find a lot of stuff written about that. And then the thing that academics really wrap their arms around is called sequence of return risk. So Google those two things, and you'll get a really quick education. But the reality is you've saved all your life, and now you're about to start spending that savings. If you're one of the unlucky ones who happens to just lost 35% in the market, even though the markets might recover, they might not, or the length of time that it will take for them to recover. In the meantime, you're going to be spending that money. So when the markets do recover, there's going to be less in there. You spent some of it. So that's what's called the risk zone. And what it really amounts to is there's a time in everyone's life, yours, mine, everyone's, when what is called risk capacity, your ability to take risk, is very low. So the reality is boomers have typically invested about 60% of their money in stocks, about 40% of their money in long-term bonds, and that's much riskier than they should. And if you want to point to somebody, the wealthier people are not making that risk decision. They're hiring somebody to make it for them. And one of our is about the 70 years of consulting and how it's evolved and the theory behind consulting. 60-40 is the pat answer. And that totally ignores the reality that boomers should not be taking that level of risk. So we're advocating something much less than that. I manage what's called a target date fund. And target, if anybody in a 401k plan would know what a target date fund is, but it basically is fairly aggressive for young people. And then as you get close to what's called this risk zone, the target date fund becomes more and more conservative. But what I've been writing about for years, Terry Savage is in Chicago, right? Do you know her?
Yes, she is. I do know her, yes.
All right. So Terry's been writing the same stuff, and we've been commiserating with one another about, will anybody listen? I don't know. And, but this corona, if there's a benefit to this coronavirus, it's like, wake up. So in 2008, there was an outcry about target date funds because the 2010 funds, for people who were retiring around 2010, those mm-hmm. folks lost 30% of their savings. And the whole idea about a target date fund is to protect people in that zone, but they're not. So the target date fund is a fairly good idea in terms of being more aggressive for people who have high risk capacity, young people. So young people have years and years of paychecks out in front of them. So if they lost money in this coronavirus thing, they've got, you know, 20, 30 years left to make it back. They can work harder, whatever, but they'll probably be around to appreciate the recovery, whatever that might be. But older people are going to be spending that money down. So some part of whatever that recovery is, they're not going to have money in the market to enjoy the bounce back. The second part of that is the reality. 2008, a lot of people, including myself, said, I'm not going to let that happen to me again. I'm out. So they never got to enjoy the bounce back. Now, in the meantime, the target date fund industry, 3 years after 2008, they got the 30% back because the market has totally bounced back. So they're all out there saying, so no harm, no foul. I mean, what are you guys complaining about? All your money is back. Well, the fact of the matter is not a lot of people really, really got it back. And the other fact of the matter is the average allocation in IRAs, individual retirement accounts, is that 60-40. You're 60% in equities and 40% in bonds and IRAs. You're 60% in equities and 40% in bonds in target date funds. You're pretty much 60-40 regardless. If you're taking somebody else's advice, that's where you are. So I guess what I'm saying here is we've been trying to be as vocal and as loud as we can, warning our fellow baby boomers.
They don't warn us, you know, send us money.
Yeah. I think the government is going to send us some money. But so one of our episodes was the 10 risks, that are, threats that are hanging out there. And coronavirus is one of them. That was our broadcast for February 18th. We're two weeks out of the head of that warning. There are 9 other serious threats out there. And if it happens that sometime in the next decade, one of those other 9 doesn't happen, boomers will be extremely lucky. Because I would say it another way. The odds are really good. One of those other 9 shoes are going to drop sometime too.
Can you tell us what they are?
I think they have to do with clowns. One of them is a clown thing, right?
Clowns are bad. Yeah. Right.
It's an octopus clown because there's 9 shoes.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. Big shoes. Big clown shoes. With coronavirus, there's a whole category in there. There's things we don't know. So coronavirus is one of those things. We don't know what we don't know. But there's nuclear threats that we all know about. And God forbid that North Korea blows up something. That would certainly cause a big market turmoil.
Other than their nuclear scientists.
Yeah, if they blow them up, then that's
they're pretty good at
market.
That.
blow them up first.
Hey, wait a minute. Is this coronavirus in North Korea? Have we seen that?
No.
Do we know?
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
I saw an interesting thing online. You take it for what it's worth, but it started, I think, February 16th, North Korea, 6 cases of coronavirus. February 17th, 0 cases. February 18th, 8 cases of coronavirus. February 20th, 0 cases. So, you know, they have their own way of dealing with it over there.
It sounds very much like a rifle.
Yes, lead is a positive cure for the disease.
There you go.
Now, I've always been a big fan of that 60-40 thing. 60% of my money is in folding money and 40% in change. And it's all, you know, it's always good to have it divided up like that. I got a big old bucket, you know, in the room full of change and, you know, a pocket full of 20. So I'm in good shape.
Mine's 60% of my mattress and 40% in shoes.
Well, you know, if interest rates go below 0, the mattress is a really good choice. which seems to be where they're going.
Hey, can you explain that for a minute? Zero interest rate, it doesn't make any sense. Why would anyone put money into a bank when they know they're going to have less when they take it out?
Absolutely. Totally agree. But there's $15 trillion right now in below zero interest rates in other countries. So it's happening. I think the underlying pinning, the underlying thing there is people would just as soon have less 5 years from now than be tasked with putting it under their mattress. So they're willing to pay to have someone else use their mattress.
Hey, Ron, is this a good time to refinance a mortgage? Let's say we're baby boomers and we're at a mortgage. I mean, I'm at like around a 4% mortgage rate. Is this a good time to reach out and refinance?
It couldn't hurt to look. So, yeah, I mean, if your mortgage is 90% interest, then it's pretty obvious that refinancing might make sense. So, I mean, you've got the obvious things, you know, what are your closing costs? What's your current interest rate? You know, all those things. But yeah, it's, we actually did that with my daughter's house several years ago, and it was amazing. So she ended up paying less. We actually increased the mortgage amount and used some of that to rehab the house. So yeah, interest rates are very low.
I would use some of that money to take a vacation, but they're not letting me go anywhere.
Stay in your house.
You want to buy that cruise now while they're giving it away.
Yes.
Well, you buy 1 week, you get two free extra weeks. You know?
There you go. Exactly.
Get a stateroom with a balcony. Listen, people, if you're going on a cruise,
just stay out there.
Do not get an inside stateroom ever. Yeah.
So, Ron, what do we do? You know, we're baby boomers. We lost money in the market. What do we do? Obviously, you know, the common sense thing is don't sell. Wait for it to bounce back if and when it does. But what do we do? You know, we're approaching the finish line. And, you know, all the kids aren't going to realize if we lost a third of our money, that's less they're going to get. So, you know, what do we do?
So I just had one of my partners send me an email and said, we don't give investment advice. Well, I'm an advisor. I do. So I just don't know where he's coming from. So I'm going to risk his wrath. So a lot of people are saying buy the dip, and that's a classic. You know, things are cheap now. They're going to come back, buy it. I say you should use the message here to do what I've done before, and maybe you guys have. So I get sick and I lose some weight. I come off of that again on the scale. I said, this is a good time to start a weight loss program. I got a head start. So I think now that you've got less equities in the market, and the market shamefully did that for you, don't go back in. You were taking too much risk before. Jumping back in is crazy. Don't do it. So what does that mean in terms of your buying and selling? I think it means sit on it for now. And when the market starts coming back, and you'll know it, sell. And sell into strength and move that stuff into safe assets. That's my advice.
And then go on a weight loss program.
And the weight loss program after that, exactly.
Okay, give me three safe assets real quick, Ron. Lightning round. Three safe assets. Go.
Treasury bills, intermediate tips. I definitely throw some gold in there, because when you go into those, quote, safe assets, you're not insulating yourself against inflation.
What about Beanie Babies? I got a lot of those, you know, in '90s, and I think those
cabbage
are
Cabbage Patch Dolls. I got those. Dale, you do the Beanie Babies. I'll do the Cabbage Patch Dolls.
I got
dolls
some comic books.
So I think if interest rates go below zero, you open those puppies up and you stuff a lot of money in them.
I got a couple questions. So buying the dip, that doesn't mean paying 25 cents extra at Dairy Queen, does it?
No, it doesn't.
No. I was wondering the French onion or the cucumber dill.
And on the serious side, you say that you'd like to put money into gold. Now, do you actually advocate buying like solid gold, or do you choose to invest in gold like mutual funds? How do you do that?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways, but one is, so I get stuff about what wealthy people are doing, and they are buying physical gold, and where they're storing it, I don't know.
I wish
but
I
they're
did.
Afraid. Yeah, I know. We go find it.
Because their memories tend to lapse.
Yeah. And their fear is that the traditional ways of, not traditional, the simple ways of buying gold without taking delivery are, you can buy what's called an exchange-traded fund. And that's a claim on gold. You don't actually own the physical gold. And the GLD is probably the biggest ETF for that. Then there are plenty of mutual funds that buy gold mining companies. And that's a good investment as well for obvious reasons, because their inventory, you know, will increase in value. The only thing that happens with the gold mining companies is they tend to move with the general stock market. Hmm. So what's been going on lately is gold is only down 8% so far, which sounds, you know, like it's not working, but down only 8% when everything else is down 30% is not so bad. But the gold mining stocks are down close to 20%. Just because they're sort of, you know, associated with the stock market. So those are your choices. I will say this, if you wanted to play the buy it when it's cheap, you'd probably buy the gold mining stocks now, because it's clear that they've really moved way too far. So their inventory is worth a lot more than what they're being priced at.
Isn't there a risk, though, with gold mining stocks? Because a lot of them are in countries that have a propensity towards nationalization. I mean, if you bought some Venezuelan gold mines, good luck collecting that.
Yeah, that's true. I think what you want to do is buy a mutual fund that buys gold mining companies.
What you want to do is you want to come to Colorado.
In Venezuela, yeah.
You want to come to Colorado, and there's a train that goes up into the mountains, and they'll take you mining for gold. That's going to be my plan now, is I'm going to go mining for gold in the rivers in Colorado.
Get your own. That's right. Sure.
There you go. And you were always kind of fond of miners anyhow, you know.
Yeah. So.
Anybody in uniform. Yeah.
What about tin? Do you think that'll make a comeback? I got a lot of tin.
You know, metals in general, I just don't follow them, but I whatever. Yeah, I know you're telling the joke, but so commodities are actually holding up okay in this mess. So there are pockets of investments that have, you know, have not gotten hurt so bad.
Okay, thanks for ruining my tin joke. Anyhow, yeah.
do you want to know the other threats besides the corona?
You bet.
Yeah, the other threat is setting up Dale for another joke.
I'm not quite paranoid enough. What are the other threats?
Well, one is maybe a matter of opinion, but so the Fed has poured $4.5 trillion into the market, and it hasn't moved the inflation needle at all, and that's gotten a lot of people saying, so why isn't the needle moving? Well, it's moving because what economists would say, we've had no velocity, which means that money isn't circulating. Why isn't it circulating? Most of it's going into the hands of people who buy stocks and bonds, so they're investors. And they don't need to buy more groceries. They want to buy more stocks and bonds. So the inflation has actually been in the stock and bond markets. Hmm. So when you say, and people say the markets are expensive, that's where the inflation has gone. It's not gone into commodities. It's not gone into gas. It's gone into stocks and bonds. So that's the second threat. When those things are way, way overpriced, some of this correction is fixing that. Bonds are still crazy, and part of that is because their interest rates are being manipulated by the Fed. So they're expensive too. The other threat is a debt crisis that a lot of people have written about. But if you take the official U.S. figure of something like $30 trillion and then add to it the liability for Social Security, for Medicare, for all of the promises that the government has made, that number is close to $100 trillion. Not 30 trillion. If you broaden that scope to around the world, the per capita world debt is $100,000 per person. So what's going on here is this funny money is floating around, and it's created, I think, sort of this cult, if you will, that says, don't be stupid using fiat money. It's called fiat money as pieces of paper. Those pieces of paper can become worthless. If this whole sort of debt crisis reaches its peak. So in the old days, paper money was backed with gold. It would say mm-hmm. redeemable in silver, redeemable mm-hmm. in gold. Mm-hmm. You know what it says on the bottom back of the dollar bill now?
Good luck.
Sort of. It says in God we trust. Sophia. That's what it says.
A friend of mine once said that there is no mountain so high that can't be crossed with a donkey laden with gold.
There you go. Oh, wow, that's very very insightful. That's what we call him, the Aristotle of comedy. He comes up there all the time. Well, so, Ron, you've got a podcast. Tell us about that and how people can sign up for that to learn more about investing information.
Yeah, thanks for letting me do the plug. So again, we started this early February, and I can't say we've got a big following, but we're working on it.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
Hey, we're up to 6 now, Dale. 6. We were at 2. We are expanding just like the coronavirus. Yeah, from 2 to 6.
Yeah, so buy into the dip, people.
Yeah. I'll do actually another plug just so you know how this started. So my sister has a very successful Facebook show, and it's about dogs, and it's really great. It's called The Dog Connection. And she has a million followers in terms of what they call the after look or whatever. And at Christmas time, we started talking about the success of her show. And I was bemoaning the fact that I really thought my fellow baby boomers are just going to get, they're going to be shocked, just like they were in 2008. And what can we do to get out in front? I said, I'll help you on Facebook. So she's basically the mastermind behind, and I guess Carolyn is your mastermind here in terms of setting this all up. So my sister Kathy is my Caroline. So we started the show in early February. It's on YouTube and it's on Facebook. And if you go on either one and just search for the Baby Boomer Investing Show, you'll find
Boomer
it.
Baby Boomer Investing Show. Okay.
That's it. Yep.
And now your sister, who has a million followers with this dog thing, would you have her tell people that the Another Day Above Ground is really a good podcast too?
Sure.
Here's a better idea. We should do an episode on dogs, huh?
There you go. There you go. Boomer.
I got mine.
And we
I'm delighted to introduce you to her. I invite you on my show, but I think you get a much bigger audience than her show. So it,
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, that would, because you know, pets are very important to boomers because you know all our friends are dead.
And they're all comfort animals now. Yeah, everybody's pet is now an official comfort animal, emotional support animal. That is all it is now.
What's going on there? You guys probably know, but so her last show is about whether dogs can get the coronavirus, and they, as near as they can tell, they can't. So that they're not, they're safe. But the other thing that's going on is people are turning in their dogs. They're bringing in the shelters.
Don't.
Yeah, giving them up. Because of the virus?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, my.
So they just don't want to be tasked with caring for their pets, and just they're afraid they're going to get sick, or maybe they are sick already, and they just want to handle the illness rather than their dog. So it's become problematic. I don't think it's a crisis at all, but it's problematic about if they're trying to search for not so many people who adopt those dogs, but take them, foster them for a while, just until this thing gets over.
Right.
So there's an outcry to no help.
I would go to the shelter, but I know I'd come home with 6 of them.
So. I know.
Fostering thing. I'd do that. Foster home a dog. That would be great.
I think even under quarantine, you might be allowed to do that. So check into that.
Cool.
That's a really cool deal.
And what is your website if people want to get in touch with you and learn more about finances and what they should do with their money?
Yeah, the easiest one for me, and I'm just amazed that this happened. So if you Google these three words, age, sage, robo, I'm on the top of the Google list, which I know guys who do SEO, the search engine optimization, they work really hard to get on the top of the list. But for some reason, nobody else is using those three words. So that's how you find me.
And if you Google the words, hey, big fella, that goes right to Carolyn. She's on top of the list.
There you go. I'll try that out. I'll try that out.
God.
Well, Ron, this has been a joy having you on and telling us about the, you know, even though we realize that we have no money now and we're closer to death, but other than that, you know, it's been a fun show.
We got a lot going for us. Yeah.
We will get through this. Baby boomers always have. We'll continue to get through us. Ron Sears, thank you so much for joining us here on another day above ground.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Carolyn, any final words before we put this show to bed?
Yeah, I need to correct you on something. It's hey, big spender. Hey, big fella, no way. I'm not stupid. The economy's in trouble. There we go.
Tim, any final words from you?
Hey, just listen to my other podcast, Rule of Three, with Ben Washburn and Tim Selego.
And visit DaleIrvin.com, not .com. That was my uncle went away for that. But DaleIrvin.com, and you can sign up for the Friday Funnies. I'll make you laugh every single Friday. Other than that, my friends, visit our website, anotherdayaboveground.com. And if you would like to be a guest on here, give us a note. Let us know what you'd like to talk about to your fellow baby boomers. Other than that, we'll see you next week, because it's going to be yet another day above ground.
And that's it for another day above ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.